Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the American Disease Project, hosted by celebrity consultant Valerie Denise Jones. Join us Tuesdays at 4 p.m. Eastern. Now, welcome your host, Valerie Denise Jones.
My product is 51 times stronger than cocaine, 51 times more hallucinogenic than acid, and 51 times more explosive than ecstasy. It's like getting a personal visit from God.
All right, guys. Welcome to round two of the American Disease Project. I am Valerie Denise Jones, and I hope you enjoyed round one. It was all based on the new movie, Spike Lee's new movie, The Black Klansman. And what I want to do right now is I want to refresh your memory, and when we come back, I'm going to read a quick excerpt from his actual, his log line / synopsis, so you know what the heck we're talking about and the reason why we're here. And then I'm also going to pose the same question I posed earlier, and that is this the right time, or is there ever a right time to introduce a movie that was once upon a time? It falls under the black exploitation, and I want to go further and say black exploitation because of the subject matter. So I could be wrong, and if you think I'm wrong, then just let me know on the other side of this break. We'll be back.
There's never been a black cop in this city. We think you might be the man to open things up around here.
Hello,
this is Ron Stallworth calling.
Who am I speaking with?
This is David Duke.
Grand Wizard of the Ku Klux Klan. That David Duke?
God.
Last time I checked.
What can I do for
you? Well, since you asked, I hate blacks. I hate Jews.
Mexicans and Irish. Italians and Chinese.
But my mouth to God's ears, I really hate those black rats. And anyone else, really, that doesn't have pure white Aryan blood running through their veins.
I'm happy to be talking to a true white American.
God bless white America.
The KKK is planning an attack.
How do you propose to make this investigation?
We'll establish contact over the phone. We'll need a white officer to play me when they meet face to face.
You for the white race, Ron?
Oh, hell yeah.
So there becomes a combined
Ron Stallworth.
Can you do that?
With the right white man, we can do anything.
When's the last time they let a rookie lead an investigation? Oh, that's right. Never.
Okay. Become his friend. Let's get invited back.
So what kind of stuff do you guys do?
Cross burnings, marches. This is fixing to be a big year for us.
You ask too many questions. You undercover or something?
We must unite and organize to fight racism.
Are you down for the liberation of black people?
Power to the people.
All power to all the people.
All power to all the people.
That's right, sir.
For you, it's a crusade. For me, it's a job.
You're Jewish. That hatred, doesn't that piss you off?
You're taking this Jew lie detector test.
Why are you acting like you ain't got skin in the game?
I'm telling you, the wars are coming.
White power! Black power!
Knights of the Ku Klux Klan.
That's us. Stallworth brothers.
We're on a roll, baby.
America first.
America first. America first.
If I would have known this was a Klan, you know, I wouldn't have taken this mother.
For more information, view the AmericanDiseaseProject.com.
All right, guys, you're back. I'm Valerie Denise Jones, live and in color. And there's a reason I said that today, because we're going to talk about color. We're going to talk about racism. We're going to talk about whether it exists, whether it's just in my head, whether it should be on the big screen, a.k.a. the Black Klansman movie. All right, so as promised, I told you guys I was going to play that clip, and hopefully we have some time to play a little clip from Noah's, I can't remember this guy's TV show today. For whatever reason, I'm drawing a blank. Trevor Noah has a show, and I can't remember the name of the show. Maybe somebody who's part of today's panel will tell me what the heck I'm talking about, tell me the name of the show so that I can make sure I give him credit. But I want to play that clip because you will hear it from Spike Lee, why he decided to make this film and why he decided to put it out now versus later, or maybe during the time when we were being celebrated, around the time when the Wakanda movie came out, right? Or maybe even before this crazy man called Agent Orange took office and became an American phenomenon and legitimized racism or legitimized self-hatred or legitimized, you tell me. I don't know. That's why we're here today, because we're going to talk about it, right? Tell me if I'm wrong. Is this the wrong time for this movie to come out? Yay or nay? And also, is there ever a right time? So, if you are listening via the computer, please make sure that you call us at 929-477-1167. I see we got a few listeners, international listeners. That's really good. We got a few private calls. I like that because that means that we're doing the darn thing. So, that's good. That means I'm getting my job done, and I appreciate that. And also, again, I want to say, I can't say this enough, please make sure that you join us on social media. And if you decide to listen to this via our archive, hit that subscribe button because we're trying to get more subscribers so that we can send out the notifications when we have wonderful guests on our show, like the people who have joined us today. We've got a lot of people in the building. So what I want to do, guys, please hear me out. When I open your mic, please introduce yourself. Please tell us who you are and briefly tell us what you do, and then let's get into the discussion because I want to make sure that everybody who's part of today's panel gets credit. I don't want to miss anybody except Mel. I don't care if he gets credit. Let me stop. Let me quit. All right, that's my problem, child. It's a little personal there. But anyway, so what we're going to do is we're going to start the show. And the reason we're doing a part two is because of a certain person. His name is Farouk, and his name means something. So I'm going to open the floor with him and have him come in and tell us what Haru means. So right now I want to make sure I give him a proper welcome and say welcome, welcome to the show. Haru, welcome to the American Disease Project.
Thank you so much, Ms. Jones, for having me.
You're very, very welcome. I appreciate you for stopping by. So I brought up your name. What does it mean?
Great question. A lot of people ask. Valerie, we've had a few conversations over the phone, and I've explained that my name, Haru, it's H-E-R-U, it's actually Egyptian, and it's symbolized by the falcon, or god of the sky, and it also means god of action as well. And I try to live up to my name. My last name is Asarmo, and that also means thunder. So it's kind of like god of the sky and thunder. Nice play.
Right. I love that, too. I absolutely love that. All right. So, like I said, you're one of the reasons why we're doing a round two. And I appreciate you for, bringing it up. I appreciate you for supporting me the way that you do and wanting to continue this conversation. Because, like I said, I think it's a legitimate conversation.
No.
It's one that definitely needs to be had because this is a real serious problem. I told you, I have a huge problem when you start attacking the babies. That's why it's a really big deal for me because there's absolutely no reason why grown-ass people should be attacking little babies. You know what I'm saying? And yeah. So we're here today. And another person that we were having a conversation and it got a little, we went kind of far down the rabbit hole when you and Mr. Danny Easy D, a.k.a. Easy D, we're having a conversation. We're going to open up his mic right now, and I'm going to get you guys started, but welcome, Danny, to the show. Yeah, thank you so much for joining us round two. I appreciate you. So if you could go on and introduce yourself, I greatly appreciate that.
No problem. I'm Danny Dorman. Honestly, I'm just an old DJ and a hip-hop witness, and just trying to spread the knowledge of what music was like getting out there to the masses before the internet.
Right. Okay. Well, you've gotten a little bit more than that. Maybe towards the end of the show, I'll go on and read a few lines from your resume, from your bio, because, yeah, you contribute a lot, as it relates to where the hip-hop industry is today, what DJs are doing today, and possibly what the internet is doing today. So I don't want to take anything from you. I am, however, getting some feedback from one of your mics because you're the only two mics open, and because of the audio quality, I want to make sure that we go on and address that sooner than later. I don't know if you're close to your computer or I'm getting a little echo.
No, I'm walking around, but that doesn't mean anything. It could be just my, phone. Does it sound any better?
Yeah, it's much better. I was going to joke with you, but this may not be the right time. Like I said, the movie isn't. I was going to say, it's probably all those white people you live around. That's probably why they're probably listening.
Yeah, there you go.
What they talking about? No.
Just us and the NSA. That's all.
Just a few friends, right?
That's right.
Right. So, Haru, you made a few good points, and I want you, because you did such a wonderful job. And, guys, I want to say this to you. Please, I want you to talk, of course. Start the conversation, but I want to open up the line to a few more people who have joined us so they can chime in, too. So, Haru, you did a great job itemizing, taking notes. So if you could introduce what we talked about in part one based on your understanding of what we were talking about, and then we're going to take it from there, and then I'm going to open up a few mics.
Absolutely. So thank you so much for having me on the show, Valerie. So in the previous show, the conversation revolved around the movie, and they were Spike Lee's latest movie. Can someone please say the title of it?
Black Klansman.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So talking about that, you were bringing up, okay, is this a good time to, present a movie like that, given the political climate that we're in, the possible undertones of racism that are still prevalent in our society? And then Danny was contending your thought on that, basically saying, when it is a good time, it's always a good time to bring that up. And I was kind of adding to that, that it's always a good time to bring it up because even in the conversation that we were having, that exchange on the previous show, that is what needs to happen, is the discussion, because the discussion hopefully brings about action, and action brings about results.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. And Danny, I am going to open up a few mics before you address that, because a couple of people were on the previous show, so they know what we're talking about. At this time, I'd like to go on and welcome, I'm going to ladies first, welcome Gloria to the show.
Welcome. This is Gloria Talley of GT Management. I'm glad to be on the show.
Thank you. I appreciate you for double dipping.
Huh?
I say I appreciate you for double dipping. I normally don't encourage that, but today, of course, I do.
That's okay. It's the continuation of what was. So
right.
Yes.
Right. Definitely. All right. So I want to go on now and open up the problem child. I wish I had a boo thing, but I don't. I have a boost of signal, so I'll just give you a clap.
Look, just because you utterly and fairly in love with me, don't mean you can treat me like that, okay?
Darn, did you notice? Shoot.
Yeah.
God.
Look here,
look at that.
Look, I'm trying my best to be with you, but you keep making this relationship a little harder.
It's like single white female, right?
You know what I'm saying?
Did you just
stop I'm trying to have that Patrick Swayze love and Ghost, but you tripping.
Yeah. All right, Melian, welcome to the show. I appreciate you for double dipping it. Totally do. Yeah, we're going to now open up. I don't know how much Supreme knows about today's topic.
Supreme knows about every topic.
Oh, he does? Okay. All
every
right.
topic. Supreme knows about every topic that has ever been invented when it comes to actual topics.
If Supreme is black, he knows the topic.
Yes,
there
he does.
I know a little bit about a lot of things. I know enough to make my way to the men's room and on the bus and on the plane if I have to leave early.
Gotcha. Somebody's got some crazy noise in their background. Crazy noise. I don't know what that is, but it sounds like.
Well, I didn't put myself on mute for the record.
Edward Scissorhand is in the building. That's what it sounds like. So I'm going to open up just maybe one or two more mics here because I want to get some wisdom from the elders. Welcome, Mr. Davis, who's always, he's been a supporter for quite some time. I definitely appreciate him. Welcome to the show. I want to give you a real that's where I get my delicious cheesecakes. Welcome, Mr. Lambert Davis, to the show. Definitely want to hear what you've got to say. And after you give your introduction, I'm going to turn it back to Haru and Danny. And, we're going to start this party.
Well, it's an honor, Valerie. And, we specialize in cheesecakes. I don't get too much into too much information because I don't know people. But I will give the number at the end of the show.
All right. Thank you so much. Appreciate you. All right, so Haru, you were saying some profound things earlier, and hopefully you remember where you stopped and could just kind of reintroduce what you stated on our three-way call so that we could get this conversation going.
Absolutely. So one of the topics that we were discussing privately talked about the state of the country and the concept or the thought process of Make America Great Again. And asking that question, really dissecting the question, since we're on the topic of racism and where we are as a country, when was America great and who was it great for? Because everything is, based on perspective. So that's where we were kind of leaving off the conversation, and hopefully Daddy has some great wisdom to drop on us about that.
I don't know if it's great wisdom. I could tell you that I hate the fact that our president took that God bless it saying and made it something that is a lightning rod. Make America great again. Well, personally, depending on what side of the tracks you're on, it never has been great or it's always been great. For me, I love my country. It's been great for me. I'm third generation projects. My mom made it a mission, single mom, made it a mission to get me and my brother and my sister out of the projects. My father's side of the family, think Soprano. So, but I was lucky. I was able to get 12 years of Catholic school. I joined the Army. I've made, all kinds of things in my life, and I'm content where I am. Unfortunately, there are white people who will take that and say, see, racism is over. And there are black people who will take that and say, well, you're a sellout. And I'm neither. I am just a guy who asked the simple question to you offline, which is, okay, if not America, well, then where would you live? And then my statement of, our Constitution, what we have the absolute right to be wrong. And what I mean by that is that I have just as many freedoms as our dummy in the White House right now, as David Duke, and as Spike Lee. Now, a lot of that has to do with having knowledge and learning about what it is that we have the right to do or right to have. I'll use an example of free speech. You know, when people say that, it's like, yes, we have the right to free speech. What we don't have the right to is how people respond to it. And so, you know, I am very proud of everything I've done. I guess that's the easiest way. So, you know, the Make America Great Again, well, it hasn't been bad for me.
Right. So, again, I want to go back to my original question, and that is, number one, in this climate, you talked about the current climate. Is this the right time for a black person to, in a sense, you know, put out a movie that has such a comedic undertone that I'm not necessarily sure that non-blacks will get the message, that they will walk away with the empathy needed to stop attacking who they deem a minority or a threat, right? So I'm would we have been in the same position if a remake of Birth of a Nation would have came out? Would we be saying the same thing? Somebody's got some background noise. And I got everybody's mic open, so whoever that is.
Okay.
Everybody's mic's open, so if you guys have something to say, just jump in.
All right. I don't know if there's too much emphasis or too little on this particular movie. Somebody said earlier, well, it's Spike Lee, so it's kind of like a Michael Moore documentary. You kind of know what to expect. Now, I didn't take any, you know, thing away from it vis-a-vis an Amos and Andy skit or a Step and Fetch It. It was just a movie, and, you know, there were some poignant parts in there. And then there were, you know, obviously some Spike Lee stuff to stimulate a conversation. To answer the question, well, when is a good time to put out a controversial movie? And
but I don't want you to move too far from that. You said something, and I want to address that. Again,
I have something to say.
Smartphones are making us dumber. We're dumber. We're not as smart. A lot of these people who voted for this, for Agent Orange, aren't the smartest people on the planet. So when
they are some of the smartest people on the planet. How can they not be the smartest people on the planet? I mean, I have something to say.
When they take his thing as law, as Bible, I have a huge problem with that because it's like, okay, all of a sudden it gives us a right to act out. Where was this action 8 years ago, so many years ago? It was when he told them, look, I got your back, act out. That's what it seems like. When he released, when he said okay and gave the command, then all hell broke loose. That's where I'm at.
Okay, so, Valerie, I have a suggestion here. So one thing, with the background noise, maybe just as people are speaking, they can have their phones, like, on mute because there's still that going on with the background noise.
Right.
But,
okay, thank you.
One thing that I wanted to say that you made a great point on, so is it a good idea to have that comedic undertone to it? And does it really draw empathy from, you know, the white crowd? I think that's the way you were positioning it. We did discuss in the previous show that, you know, there were experiences where the theaters were filled predominantly with white people of Caucasian descent, and they were feeling that empathy. But then there's another side to it. You can look at the story from another side. You know, the original story, when we were talking about the fact that a black man was able to infiltrate the KKK, that same concept never, you know, it never died, because the KKK, you know, at one point they could have been wearing hoods, and at another point, they could be wearing suits, and you still have to infiltrate, in a sense, into the suited world or into that upper echelon world. So that's always going to take place. but it's just, you know, how you decide to look at the underlying message within the movie.
Okay.
That's
why
I think
it
would
be. All right, well, I want to go around. Finish your thought.
Oh, no, go ahead.
Yeah, I want to go around the board and get some more input on Supreme View.
This particular movie coming out right now is just another movie. If you allow it to be something else mentally, then that's what you allow it to be. You know what I'm saying? Like, I understand that Spike Lee put out this movie to send a message. That's what Spike Lee does. Spike loves to send messages. He loves to, you know, he loves to play with the audience, and he loves to, you know, give his take on life and the social status and everything. But the movie will only be what you allow it to be. If you take it as a standpoint, if you're taking it as a political stance, as a social stance, as a radical stance, that's however you perceive it. It's what you choose to perceive. So
here's what I want to say to you, Mill, and to everybody listening. Here's what I want to say. You know, when you were growing up, I know all of us, because I think all of us are, you know, African-Americans on the phone. I'm not sure because there are a couple of calls on. I haven't checked yet. But so I was always told that they're going to expect you to, or you got to work 2, 3, 4 times harder, you know, than other people, you know what I'm saying? Whatever reason my parents gave me. Okay, Spike Lee is a leader in our community. He's one of the matriarchs in our community, right? So I'm saying to him, being that he's a leader in the community, he's a person who a lot of people look up to. His message means a lot to different people on different levels. You can't take anything lightly. Let's take the movie off. Let's just say it wasn't a movie. But certain people just can't do things frivolously because people are going to take it as Bible, right? And so when I'm saying if we do things carelessly, people end up, real people die in a fake movie, right? So having said that, when you've got people who they've been told by their puppet master, go and act out. Their actions have been validated. Not only that, we went from at the end of the Obama era where it seemed like, God, we were almost like, basically, we should be fearful of police. It seemed like we were being slaughtered on camera and nobody was being held accountable. So now it's like, okay, any person feel like they could just pick up a gun. If they live in Florida, they could shoot and kill you. They have a right to do this whole Trayvon, George Zimmerman thing all over again, and you're going to get away with it again. No one held accountable. When you look up and you look you look up at the stories that's happening, people think it's okay to just beat a black person over the head, make these phone calls, SWAT houses, you know, call the police. Again, I'm not ignoring the fact, because it would be different if it's just one story. It would be different if it was one part of the country. But I'm giving you guys real true facts going on all around the United States of America. That's why I'm concerned. I'm talking about this problem that's happening here. So when you have instances like a Ving Rhain, again, if we were saying, okay, it was in the hood, okay, it was Chicago, and that it's prevalent there, you know, it's always happening. No, Ving Rhain was sitting in his house, and some idiot called the police and said, hey, somebody broke in, there's some suspicious activity at this address, and cops show up with guns already drawn. Literally, this man opens his door, could have lost his life. When you got stuff like this, people are not being held accountable. Somebody literally just walk up to you because there's some white supremacists or some meeting happening in the area, and somebody just gets killed, just random killings. I mean, just literally just hatred because they, for whatever reason, like Gloria said, she just sitting in the restaurant just trying to order her food, normal activity. We didn't just show up on this planet yesterday. We didn't just show up in the United States yesterday. We've been here since the beginning, since they stole this country. We were here, right here. So why is it all of a sudden, now that this man has solicited this kind of activity and is constantly perpetuating this kind of activity and this crazy mindset, this ratchetness, why is it? You know what I'm saying? Why is it we can't hold our leaders accountable when they don't understand that the things that they do and they're saying, people are literally taking this as, oh, it's okay for us to play it down. It's okay for black people, rich people, you know, to say, okay, whatever, or somebody to say, hey, you know what, it didn't happen to me or whatever. Why are we not on alert? Not on alert to where we're fearful, we're scared to walk outside our door, but we understand there's a problem, we have conversations, and we figure out how we're going to come together. Again, not with a date like we suggested earlier. Is there a date and we can just come together? No. But what kind of conversations do we need to have so that we can pull closer, so that we can solve some of these problems on some end, so that maybe, you know, we could show that somebody somewhere, you know what I'm saying, and stop some of this, because we got to be able to stop it, because our babies, people are dying. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's all I'm saying today. Forget the movie.
You know,
what about
well,
the
Valerie.
Match?
Valerie.
Oh, if you don't mind, I just, you know, here's a prime example, in my opinion, of an opportunity that was lost, and that was when the young lady gave her story about the waiter or whoever who talked to a waitress and said, hey, I'm uncomfortable because of all these black people.
Yeah, Miss Gloria, you know, she's on the phone.
Oh, hi, Gloria. So, you know, but my question still stands, which is, well, would that not have been an opportunity to, you know, just, hey, what's wrong? What's the problem? You know, because it's not so much all of us on the phone or who's listening right now who we're all shaking our heads in agreement. Yeah, it's the people like that guy who, for whatever reason, was afraid. Now, I, you know, maybe he's just a straight up bonehead. I don't know. I wasn't there. Or as somebody had suggested, that maybe he had an altercation prior to that. You know, honestly, I don't know. But, you know, I think the conversation needs to be continually had. Yeah, that we not so much beating it into the ground. You know, Trump's a dope. Okay, so what else is new? We're focused so much on trying to get him impeached that I think he's going to slip his ass into 2020 because we're all looking backwards. You know, oh yeah, we need to impeach him. We need to impeach him. Although, in less than 2 years, or a little more than 2 years, we're going to be voting again. And I dare anyone call in, tell me who can beat him right now, because I want that person. But we're so focused on trying to get him out now that he's going to slide his little booty in 2020, and then we're going to be scratching our heads saying, what did we do wrong?
But what, again, I'm asking, I'm going to keep honing in on what it is, the reason why I want to have this conversation. They have their marching orders. They got their orders from their white man. Where are our black people? Because I don't think we need a leader.
You know,
we need community, you know, heads. But wait 1 second. We've got people who can address millions. Our Drake, our Kanye's, all these people who can literally. I don't know where that noise is coming from. I have no clue. But please mute your mic if you're not talking. But who do we need to talk to have conversations, right? Well, we can do something to stop some of this stuff, because whether we like it or not, people are following you home. People are calling you nigger. People are just acting out of character.
But Valerie,
they're making
Valerie, we don't need Kanye. You know who we need? We need you. We need people like us who are on the phone. Kanye? Oh, please.
I didn't say that. Remember, I said we don't need one leader. I said,
right.
What conversations do we need to say to the
people
who can
just
address
conversations that need
millions
to
of people? What do we need to say to them?
But what do you mean? What do you mean? We have a bunch of nonsense black leaders that's in government as we speak. That's just playing the proverbial game. You know what I mean? Like, and he's right.
So what do we
Kanye.
Say then to our black teachers, to our black pastors, to our black community leaders? Forget those. What do
to
we
continue,
need to
say? Continue to,
how do we
what
make
you say is,
speak up. That's what you
yeah,
say.
What you say is, instead of continuing, like, a lot of people are like, well, keep doing what you're doing. You're doing a good job. No, don't keep doing what you're doing. Step your game up. Step up. how far are you willing to go? I mean, you know, not like going crazy, like killing people. What I mean, as far as how far are you willing to go to make your voice known and heard? You know what I mean? Like, let me get this out though. There's a lot of people out here that's getting rich, that's getting famous. They're willing to go to the ends of the earth for paper, for money. They're willing to go above and beyond whoever they think they are in order to be a star. So the people that's actually out here that's calling themselves activists, that's calling themselves community leaders, calling themselves, you know, like the positive influence in our communities, why aren't you guys willing to be able to go above and beyond to be able to create change, to bring about change in a positive way? So, yeah, and again, it's a lot of black influential people with stature, with finances, with, you know, connection, with pull, that do nothing, that does nothing. And at the end of the day, if their thinking and their mentality do not change, then we're going to still stay where we are. And to be honest with you, yeah, Donald Trump is winning because, be honest with you, the world ain't never seen a president like Donald Trump. Sure, we have seen some outspoken individuals, some well-spoken individuals as presidents. No, you ain't never seen a dude wake up every day not giving a shit. He just don't care. And he has a grown man as a press secretary. I don't know what that chick. I don't know if that's a female or not. Yeah. That's a man.
No, he's sociopath, and that's the whole thing. Everyone's scratching their head, saying, "Oh, this will do him in. This will do him in," or he's not an effective leader. Da 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 da. You're right. He wakes up. He truly doesn't care. Now, back in the day when I was growing up, he's a shit disturber. And you think about it, anywhere in life, you had a guy like that or a woman like that that just started up shit just because they could. And then you start getting mad at people for stepping into that shit, and you go, but wait a minute. You know he's a shit disturber. You know there's shit. You're stepping in it. Who are you getting mad at? You know, it's like getting mad at a dog for barking. He's going to be who he's going to be. You know, now, thank goodness, that barring anything that's just totally ridiculous, his ass will be out in 6 years. You know, because I still believe he's going to win in 2020. And it's not because I like the guy, but it's because, you know, he's a master at distraction, misdirection. You know, everyone's clamoring about what he's doing right now. Like I said, he's clamoring about trying to get him impeached. In the meantime, time's marching on. We have no one, Democrat or Republican, that can actually, you know, someone who can look there and say, yeah, this person's better than Trump. You know, and I dare anyone to tell me otherwise. I mean, you know, you throw out names and it's like, you know, can they take the worst hit that this man will give? Because I guarantee you, he's not going to play fair. So unfortunately, instead of us trying to put someone up that actually has a chance, and I'm not talking about Oprah and The Rock and who else was, you know, some other celebrity
they were sucking the job more than he sucked the job. At the end of the day, we keep electing the same dumbass. It doesn't matter if it's a woman in office. It doesn't matter if it's a man in office. White,
that's not
black,
necessarily
Puerto,
true. Because
I agree. Not in this case. He is not. You know, he proved in my
that's
mind.
Not true.
Let me explain why.
Let me explain why. Donald Trump proved that anyone can grow up to be president, and he also proved that anyone should be president.
No, he didn't. He did not prove that anyone could. He was as privileged as could be. How did he prove that? Explain, please.
That anyone could grow up to be president?
Yeah, please.
Because he had no...
Because he lacked qualifications.
Yeah.
You can lack qualifications and have connections and a ridiculous amount of money, not to mention anything that helped get him into office, you know, aside from his money and political you know, stamped, but it's not that anyone can get into office. Maybe he's an idiot and he got into office, but he's an idiot that had a lot of money, a lot of influence.
Man, we're idiots. We're idiots as Americans. We have a system literally built up to elect the president, right? So everybody go out and they say vote or die. You go out and you vote. You cast your vote for the person that you want to be the elected official. And then your vote should really matter. Just like if you was, you know, trying to get, you know, a class president elected. Everybody put a name in a hat. Whoever gets the most votes wins. No. Now when it comes to us, we got to go to something called an electoral college, meaning we voting to tell people in our district who we want to be president. And
no,
still
but, sir, but sir, it, in the 45 presidents that have been elected, the one by the electoral college was only four times. I mean, you
but
know,
that still makes no sense
so,
to me. As a grown
how,
man,
how about
if you
we get
ask
off of the
me
presidency
who
and go back to Valerie's point?
Yeah, can
let
we go
off
back
of the presidency
to the conversation?
All right, okay.
Yeah, we're going
okay,
into
what,
a whole
what,
lot of political stuff. Let's get off of that and get back to Valerie's
well, it,
point.
Well, it's the host's fault.
I would like
it's, a,
to
it's the host's fault.
I want to definitely – can you hear me? Can you hear me? Hello?
Yes, we can hear you, Ms. Gloria.
Oh, okay. I definitely want to respond to the gentleman that was speaking earlier. He was saying, you know, I had the right opportunity to say something to this person. I have to be totally honest with you. No, I didn't have the right opportunity to say anything to this person. And I say that, I don't believe these people are doing this. I say that because In the position that I was in, first of all, I was taken aback by that. I was somewhat insulted. Then I was also concerned because, again, he was dealing with food. And like I said before, it did not have anything to do with what he said initially. That was an added thing. That was something else that made that visit a bit unpleasant. Just the idea of knowing that this is in his mind. And, I mean, I can have – it wasn't the place to try to explain to him that we're all the same or you don't have to be afraid of us or any of those things. We were in a public restaurant with a waiter who was waiting on many tables. So that was – there was no way I could possibly have done that. But what I will say is that, you know, I'm a little saddened. I'm saddened because I grew up in the time, you know, where we did have to look over our shoulder. I grew up in the time where people would call us the N-word or Oreo or whatever the case may be. I grew up in those times. And as I got older, I had noticed it dying out. But then as I got older, I also noticed that that our own kind were turning against us. You know, so if we can't teach other how not to be prejudiced against ourselves, how in the world are we going to be able to teach anyone else of a different race how not to be prejudiced against us?
Right. Yeah, you made today's point. Yes, you did. You made today's point.
That's
exactly the point of today's show. That's exactly what I was saying.
That's Gloria Tally right there. That's Gloria Tally
like
right
us.
There.
That's why we
you
call
know
her mama. Yeah. So that's exactly my point. We need to look to these people who other people who look like us are looking up to, and we need to force them to say something because they control the mindset, the hearts of the majority. So what is it we could do to hold them accountable? Because they seem to be acting out or selling out. And this whole cooning thing, that's not funny. You know what I'm saying? Or you know, I got to leave my people. I got to, you know what I'm saying? Like abandoning the objective. It's still in your court, whether you like it or not. And I hate that we put such heavy, such a heavy burden on the LeBrons and the, I don't believe in the Oprah. I never did. But I'm just saying, like, all these people who literally, I don't think we should look to everybody like a LeBron who never vied, he was never vying to be a politician. People who can actually make change, hold them accountable, like the pastor. You applied for that job as a pastor, so you knew that you were over the flock. You applied to be the cop. You know that you're to protect the neighborhood. You applied to be a judge. You know that you're over the courtship. Whatever. Those people, not just because you're black and you got a lot of people's attention, you got a huge social media following. How do we hold these people who look like us accountable? Because they're wilding out and they're making it worse. So that's why we're saying with this movie, Spike Lee don't seem, he seemed to be a little bit detached because before there was a message. But before also too, he had one foot in, one foot out. You know what I'm saying? Because he just always seemed to be angry, just angry about something. And it wasn't so much about the black agenda. It wasn't so much about black people or supporting whatever. He was just making good movies. So I don't think it's him. I don't really care about what Spike Lee did. I think Spike Lee is just, he's not the person to look to. But that message, that movie, those actors, so Denzel, his son is in it. Can we look to Denzel, who does lend his voice, his celebrity, you know, to certain political agendas? The Will, I don't even know about Will Smith. I don't even know who to go to because I don't know who to talk about anymore. But there's certain people out here who we can look to who are giving us the right message since they've gotten mayors. How can we stick together, keep this thing going, create our black wall because black businesses matter, black dollars. And I want to ask, when we're in these businesses and these people feel uncomfortable, why do we still patronize these businesses? I would take my money. That, to me, is a way to vote, too. Why don't we just leave and not shop there? How do we shut down these Korean places? How do we shut down all these people? I don't know where we would shop because we don't have nothing black-owned. But I'm just saying, what can we do? That's why I'm here today, and I keep asking the same question. I'm being very redundant because I'm just hoping that I can talk to some people who I know have the ear of several hundred people, possibly thousands of people, and say something profound to them because it's just jacked up all around.
Valerie, you make an amazing point about having that black-owned business and taking that conversation from, you know, what's wrong with this and what's wrong with that to what do we do about it. And that should be the core conversation and action conversation where people really put together plans and implement them, possibly, you know, pooling money to build even one African-owned business where, you know, it's owned by the community. Doing things like that, the problem is that in our society, the way that it's built and the way that it functions now, it's so hard to get black people to come together. And then to the point that you were making about speaking to, like, the woman that was on saying that it wasn't the right time to speak to that waiter, it's never the right time to speak to that waiter. Anybody that has that mindset, there's no speaking to them. You're never going to have a conversation with somebody that has a racist mindset or a fear of other races and be able to talk them out of their fear. Now, they might talk themselves out of it.
No. I'm sorry for interrupting, but how, I mean, that seems like a very broad stroke too. How do you know that in that particular circumstance, if the young lady had the opportunity to talk to him, that it would not have changed his mind? I mean,
I think you guys are overlooking the fact that she said it was not the time for her to do it. Is that, am I correct?
She was thinking about her. You're absolutely right. It wasn't the fact that it wasn't the right time. Quite frankly, I would love to have taken this gentleman outside and spoken with him so that he could feel better about his surroundings. I would have loved, I am that kind of person. However, the business of it all, what he was doing, did not allow me to have that opportunity. It, trust me, when I was sitting there, and I was thinking to myself, I would love to talk to you. I really want you to feel comfortable around us. We're okay. But you know, it's so sad because here we are in 2018, and I shouldn't even have to say we're okay. But
that's
the fact still remains, if I have to hold your hand, and make you feel comfortable, trust me. I am that person to do that. But I do want to touch on one other thing. I think about a lot about what, you know, some of us are talking about, like different political figures or, you know, people that really are being followed as the leaders of African Americans, whatever the case may be. Those people are not like Martin Luther King Jr. was. And I say that because that man laid down his life for this, for a change. I want to know, is there anybody on this phone that is willing to lay down their lives to make a change? We talk about making a change. We could talk all day long. But
ma'am, would you be willing to lay down your life?
Yeah, exactly.
Would you be willing to lay down your life?
Exactly.
Right. Just like you would lay down your life for your children. Would any of us?
No. I mean,
we're asking you. Are you willing to?
Yeah, I mean, I could tell you,
honestly, you might think this is really crazy, but I'm going to be totally honest with you. If I were given the platform to speak out, to teach, to educate, to do whatever it is that I need, and I know that I believe everything within my heart, my soul, that this world, some of this world would change, yeah, I could see myself laying down my life.
Okay, here's what you can do now. And I'm sorry for I normally don't like speaking over people, but I also have short-term memory disorder. But you know, right now you could take what we're talking right now. You can get that from Valerie, and you can post, and repost. So you actually can do what it is you said. If, and I'm saying no,
exactly.
You can't. You can, you could take this tape and you could replay it and reinforce it. And I'm not saying, you know, I'll tell you, I don't know if I am that guy that's willing to lay down his life for his beliefs. You know, I'm willing to lay my, I am the type of guy that will run into a burning house. You know, I'm not that guy that runs away from it, but I'm not also that guy that's going to go, you know, with a big red S on my chest and look for problems. It's a case by case, but you know that's why when you said, you know, you look at Dr. King, I don't think Dr. King wanted to be Dr. King. He just, you know, he had enough. He said, I have to do something. I don't know what it is I'm going to do, but I have to do something, you know. And Malcolm the same way. He had to do something. Neither one of them were waiting for somebody else. And, you know, and it's easy to deflect and you know, blame others. And I put myself in that category. You know, I can do more. I should be doing more. That's why I'm on here, you know, with the passion that I have. I don't know if there are 3 million people listening or 3 people listening. But if I can help one, then I think I did okay.
Well, what I want to say is the reason why I don't believe people should lay down their lives if they're not equipped to do so is because there's no backup plan. There's nothing to reinforce that.
Exactly.
When we lost Martin Luther King, who replaced him? I mean, nobody stepped up to the plate. Also, too, if we had someone who stood up for us, then, like, let's just say LeBron stood up and spoke out against XYZ and lost his NBA contract. Are we going to rally together and make sure that he can still live the lifestyle that he was living when he was playing ball, put our money, our dollars towards that so that he will not lose and it would make sense for him to do that? That's the problem I have. So my only solution is what everybody's saying. Use what you've got where you are. Do what you can, and each one teach one to the best of your ability. Because, I don't think if any leader stood up, we're asking that person for a lot because they killed Jesus. They talked about Jesus. You know what I'm saying? If Jesus can't do it, who turned water into wine and rose from the dead and walked on water, I don't see what we're going to be able to do, especially when we got these cooning behind black people and most of the traitors, you know, look like it is really crazy.
I don't know. I'd be scared. You know,
Valerie.
Raise your hand
the answer to that question, Valerie.
I don't know what would happen to him.
That's what I'm saying, though.
Valerie,
the answer to that question. A situation. That's a major thing. And if you're not equipped to do that, what are you doing? I can do just like I am doing what I can do at this point, just like everyone else is. I'm on this platform right now. I'm actually putting out information into the system so that people can understand. I do go to the NAACP meetings. I do volunteer my services to different situations or different civil groups. So I do those things. No, I'm not equipped, nor am I well known enough to even do the things that I would love to do. But
so
I'm doing everything I can right now.
Therein lies your solution, though. Therein lies your solution. Okay. If you're realizing that you're not well enough equipped, and you, I believe, were the woman who asked, okay, well, is there anyone out here on the line that is willing to do X, Y, and Z, and that you're realizing that you would want to and you would love to if you were equipped, then the real conversation, where the real meat of the conversation is in how to get equipped. For those of you that want to be equipped, how do you do that? That's where the meat is to really ask, okay, well, what is your area of expertise? What is, for instance, you know, my area of expertise is in finance, and I'm a writer, I'm an author. Maybe someone out there to get to their next level would need their resume updated. I do wonderful resumes. I'm not trying to portray that, but I'm just saying that's the kind of conversation that would need to happen so that you can get to the place where you are financially in a place to make an impact, and do you have that clout to make an impact? Otherwise, you just have these conversations that revolve around, this is the problem, and if we had this, and where is our leader? But it doesn't actually get anywhere. You have to make yourself the example that you want to be. That's what you have to do.
Right. And on that note, let's take a quick break, guys, because we are at the top of the second hour. We only got a few more minutes. I'm not going to hold you guys up too much longer.
And
you're going to
stop,
sure,
you stop silencing me. Okay?
What?
You're going to stop silencing me. I am too cute to not talk. So, boom.
There you go. And there you have it. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, there you have it.
The other side. But let's right now, let's pay some bills. And when we come back, we'll continue this conversation. Right now, you're listening to the American Disease Project Part 2, and it's a little heated. We're turned up, and I like it. Now we can call this Turned Up Tuesday. In honor of today's conversation, we'll be back.
JRR Studios specializes in turnkey video, photo, and TV production services. Call 813-384-8502.
Christopher Williams, a.k.a. Shake Banks, West Philly street entrepreneur, is back with his new book titled 23-1. Unlocking the truth about a life sentence. New book launch on September 11th. Visit shakebanks.com for details.
We could have tuned the performance suspension of the Cadillac CTS Sport Sedan on any closed course. But we chose the tight, punishing turns of Germany's legendary Nürburgring instead. Because at Cadillac, we don't just take corners. We take on the world with a car Motor Trend calls a bold, savvy, uncompromising showpiece. And that Edmunds.com elevates to top-tier status. The exhilarating Cadillac CTS Sport Sedan, now with premium care maintenance standard for 4 years or 50,000 miles. We don't just make luxury cars. We make Cadillacs.
For more information, view the AmericanDiseaseProject.com.
All right, guys, we're back here listening to the American Disease Project, the radio show. Please make sure that you go to our page and subscribe. Also, lock our number in, 929-477-1167. Again, that number is 929-477-1167. I'm Valerie Denise Jones. And like I said, this was Turned Up Tuesday, part two of today's conversation. So we're back for round two. I'm getting some background noise. So guys, again, if you're not talking, Please go on.
I'm
it's okay.
Valerie.
You don't even need to apologize.
I have to leave right now, okay? I have to go on this a conference call. So I do apologize, but I do have to go, okay?
All right, Ms. Gloria, just give us your contact information. I appreciate you stopping by.
It's GT Management, I'm sorry, GTMGMT2004@gmail.com is my email. Gloria Talley on LinkedIn under GT Management. It's also Gloria Talley on Facebook, GT Management. Same thing for Instagram. I've really enjoyed talking to all of you all, and I hope one day we can find a solution. You all have a wonderful
right.
evening.
The solution is within us, definitely. Ms. Gloria is over there doing her part, definitely. All right, Ms. Gloria, we love you to life. And, yeah, we'll see you on next show, Friday possibly, or Monday or Tuesday, or on the
okay.
other side, a private conversation.
Okay.
I appreciate you. Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
Bye,
all right.
Mama.
All right. So my problem child said I cut him off. Okay, so I give you the floor.
Well, first and foremost, give honor to God who had in my life, okay?
Amen.
Second of all, I mean, all these gentlemen have, you know, some great, 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 great points of view. And I just wanted to, yeah, that one right there. I just want everybody to know that, you know, these points of view, whether we're in agreement or whether we're not in agreement, it's a great thing just to even be sitting here as men to be able to discuss this stuff. Because these are conversations that we are not having on a consistent basis. You know what I mean? And it kind of really does not matter. In my opinion, you know, the government has done going crazy. So it's like no matter what we do, we got to try to strive to be the best that we can be as men on a daily basis, not just in our households, but everybody around us. You know, I got younger dudes around me where I live at in Georgia who, you know, who know me, know my family, know who I am, and still they trap and they do different things. And I try to have as many conversations with them as possible. I've actually gotten one of them to actually stop trapping to literally just go back to school. He's a great athlete.
Congratulations.
He was able to get a scholarship. He's a great athlete. Sure, if you got talent, use it. He's a great athlete. I was able to get him back in school. He actually got he got most of his school paid for with financial aid, paying the rest, and he's playing ball now. He's off the street. He's not selling. He's not in the neighborhood. He's not doing those things that is of that negative environment that he was in. You know what I mean? So, if anything, yeah, I do feel good about having at least one person change their life. And so, you know, the one gentleman actually said, you know, it takes one, you know, it does take one. It does start with one. You know, and as long as you are doing what you can possibly do to help change some things, then by all means do it. Nobody's knocking you for it. Nobody should knock you for it. Because at the end of the day, like, it's not like the actual government is coming into our neighborhoods, you know, and actually trying to change anything for the better. They're so wrapped up in what's going on with CNN and Fox News on this president, you know, with the news scandals and things of that nature for better television, that nothing really is getting done for the better. So I'm not even necessarily worried about Trump anymore. I'm not worried about the government. Nobody's worried about that crap. Worry about your family. Worry about your surroundings. And worry about making things better around where you are. And yeah, hopefully that great positivity will branch out. Otherwise, I'm a sexy R&B singer. I'm light skinned and cute, and you know that. You know it. That's the reason why they're hating on me all the time. So I was a problem child. I am not a problem. I am just an altercation waiting to happen. That's what I am. I'm not a problem.
There you go. Yeah, you read my mind. Gosh, I tell you, thank you so much for putting that out there. No, I don't have to say it myself.
Just okay,
I'm gonna actually
ideas,
make
okay?
that. Yeah, that's
real.
It makes that part of my thing. So, Haru, what do you have to say to that? Not the cute and sexy part, not that part. But what do you, you know, what do you have to say to what he just said?
I can comment on it.
Okay.
Valerie, are you asking me?
Yeah, I was asking you. Yeah.
Sorry about that.
I had asked you. Yeah.
So I definitely agree with what he's saying. You know, one thing that would be interesting is to have this dialogue to bring in the people that really need to be impacted by it, maybe gang members. Wouldn't it be interesting to have this kind of a conversation? Because I came from an environment, I know Danny said that, you know, he came from, I think, third generation project.
And
third generation.
I also came from a pretty rough background as well, and I interacted with a lot of gang members. And they never hear these conversations. They never hear anything about these conversations. It would be interesting to bring them into the discussion and hear what they have to say and their perspective, because it is making that change and choosing to take that direction. But it comes down to everyone's excuse of, well, I'm not in the position. I don't have the time to. I don't have the money to. Then you have to figure out if you want to have that voice, if you're that person that says, okay, well, I want to make that impact. Well, then you have to figure out how to get the voice. That's what I'm doing right now. Like we've talked about before, Valerie, you know, with my book and getting that out, it's about getting yourself out, making yourself into something instead of just talking about what the issue is, doing mm-hmm. something about it. And mm-hmm. that begins with doing mm-hmm. something about yourself, about your mindset, about how you set the example to the world, because you're an example, each individual, to the world.
Right. And do you think that more men should have
True.
Conversations? Or do you think if women are part of the conversation, kind of shifts the energy? Do you think you should have, because this is predominantly male. I think now I'm the only woman. I don't know about the other calls because they haven't pressed number one. But do you think more men should have discussions?
I think that it doesn't really matter whether or not it's just men or whether there's a mix of women involved as well, because women are an important part of the household. You know, it would be great to get that other perspective for both sexes to be able to hear the other person's perspective and how it's thought about. So I think it would be healthy to have, you know, a good mix.
Yeah. Supreme, what are your thoughts?
Valerie?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Oh, hey,
that's Mr. Davis. Hey.
Hey, what's up? This is Supreme. I was just listening and enjoying.
Supreme.
And, you know, I think.
Who asked me if they could hear, if I could hear them? Who said that?
Nobody.
That's Davis. It's no. I don't know about nobody from your perspective, but my name is Lambert. I'm trying to get in here sometimes because the same people are talking, and it's really, you know, you need another perspective.
Oh, I was just messing with her. I apologize, brother. I really do.
The only problem is that it's, you know, black people have been playing around too long. That's why they're in the position they're in. They're wondering what has happened, and they, you know, every time that I've ever heard people call themselves African Americans, I've always heard them call themselves black people in the same paragraph. That shows that you're confused. And if you're confused, you're going to pass that on to your children. That's why they don't respect you. Now, when you look at what the people did, there are people out here that are trying to organize black people, but you can't align yourself with people like that because the people you've assimilated with, that you get your check with, and whatever you're doing in your life, how can anybody say that you can have men and not women? That's no other race would say that. Only our race would say the women, the women have to be there. They have to be there unless you just want to be a race of homosexuals. Women have to be in the picture. And the other thing is, from my perspective, something very positive happened yesterday that Valerie initiated, and I'm not going to tip it, because I don't think it should be tipped in this conversation. But she called me, and she called another woman who's very connected to the black community, and it was a dynamic interaction. It wasn't a male saying, well, we should do this, or we should. These are two women that called me. So if they called me, I should give them the respect to listen to why they called me, because I don't like to just talk to anybody, because we're living in very dangerous times. And when I hear people talking about how light they are and what this position is and I'm in my little world and all that, you're going to get dealt with by these people that are not playing with now. They're not playing. They're playing for keeps. Trump is not the first racist to get into that position. George W. Bush was on his way. He was on his way. A lot of people forgot about that when President Obama got in. George W. Bush and that other guy, Cheney, they were close. to doing what Trump is doing. And if you have assimilated into the American dream, it's going to be a nightmare for you. But the good thing about a nightmare is you can wake up from it. But I think everybody who's listening right now should go and read and listen to the Billy Lynch speech, because it sounds like most of you are suffering from that, because they said if you implement this program, they'll do it to themselves. They'll go against each other. They'll go. Women will go against women. Older generations, lighter skin will go against darker, where you live on the plantation. But the common theme is we must have them trust us and distrust their own. So until we get past that, and for some of you who have said there's no leader out here, I know a leader that has been putting his neck on the line for a long time. He's been married to the same woman. They just celebrated their 65th anniversary, and that's Louis Farrakhan. He got all kinds of ways for black people to get together, but you're so worried about your handlers and whoever's telling you what to do that you're afraid that if I say this, and I'm going to end with this, Valerie, Spike Lee is not somebody to admire. The reason I say that is because I'm from Sacramento, California, and Spike Lee was in Sacramento during the Million Man March, and I was at the march, and you can tell who told him how to put that movie together. So if you have assimilated and there's no way to get you out of that, I hope you get what you deserve. Those of us who want to work with black people that are conscious, and don't worry about if you can change a white person's racist mind. Who in the world would waste their time with that? Work on your own people, just like these other races are doing. They don't apologize for saying, let's just patronize our own. But don't talk about it. Do it. Asians, Greeks, Italians, why are we the only ones that say things like we're saying today? And this is 2018. So I just thought I'd put that in there. I'll go on mute so you won't hear my when I turn up my voicemail. That's what I have to say.
I appreciate your input.
The masquerade is over, Valerie. Those people who have masqueraded and got into their little communities where they were the only black in there, you're going to get dealt with. And those of you who have your children in those all-white schools, those white people, children are going to start killing your children in those schools. Wow. They're already doing it. You can't hide from your skin. You can't. Those who have tried, like Michael Jackson, look what they did to Prince and Michael Jackson. They murdered those two guys. They did,
right,
whether you want to believe it or not. And it's the people who distribute those records that are making money off them as dead celebrities.
Sir, what
I just
would
had to,
your...
I had to give it to you rough, so maybe
what,
you
what,
would wake
what would
up.
Your solution... What is your blue sky?
I just told you
sky.
The solution. You can't
ask
me the same question.
Sir,
I just
sir,
told you.
I'm not... No, I'm asking what is your
my solution? Oh,
no,
I can tell you what
solution.
Mine is.
Let me
explain what my solution is since you asked me. It's not going to take long. First of all, I started my own business, and then I networked with black folks. I didn't go out looking for other people so I could be validated. And then I'll go out maybe and network with them. But if you are just focused in on, well, I'm worried about Trump, I'm worried about the ratings, I'm worried about that, they're not worried about you. So why are you worried about them? See?
I'm not
and
sure
remember,
where I
you
said
have
I was
children,
worried about Trump.
If you have children, you should set an example for them instead of this term they call now cooning. That term has been around forever. Cooning. Sellout, assimilation is the word I use, where you thought you could fit in, but now they're telling you, hey, we don't care what kind of degree you have. We don't care what kind of book you have. We don't care how much money you have. Look what happened to LeBron in L.A. He moves into where O.J. Simpson called hell at, and he called hell right away. Right away. They don't care about what you earn. They're looking at your skin now. Now what you going to do? You're going to end up a schizophrenic if you don't keep your mind. That's my solution, not to lose my mind.
No,
once you lose your mind,
because with all due respect, if you take your words and put them into
what word? I spoke many words. What word?
No. But you're preaching the same thing. In
I'm not
my
preaching.
Opinion,
I just made a statement. I don't care your opinion.
I'm sorry. I'm not trying to get into
I don't care about your opinion. I really don't.
Oh, well, that's fine.
I mean, you're in finance, you said. And if you're not a multimillionaire, your finance is weak to me.
No,
I'd rather listen to Snoop Dogg.
I'd rather listen to Snoop Dogg, who used to be a gang member,
and now he's a multimillionaire, and he's helping black youth in his neighborhood. That's who I would listen to. He never left the reservation. He just made his money. And he's still married to the same black woman. Are you married to a black woman?
Yes, I am.
Good.
Yeah, we are.
I have no outside kids. I break every stereotype you think you want to lay on me. You don't know me.
I don't want to know you. That's the thing you don't understand. I don't know you.
Gentlemen, for the two of you.
I'm not a gentleman. You don't need a gentleman right now. You need somebody to tell you guys the truth. If I was coming up as a youngster, I wouldn't listen to any of you. You don't inspire me because I know that's wrong.
I know it's wrong.
And you do too.
The wonderful thing about not being inspired, so, you know, if you're going to say that we don't inspire
the youth
you,
have to be inspired, sir. They have to be. Otherwise, they're going to be.
Think about the.
What do we do?
Listening. Think about the youth listening to this conversation and how
the. Oh, they would love me. They would love me.
Yeah.
Because I'm going to tell them the truth.
That's great to tell the truth, but do you see how the.
No, you have no. There's no but to the truth, my friend. Giuliani just said the truth isn't the truth. Do you believe that? The truth isn't the truth.
The truth is the truth.
I'm going to go around and I'm going to let everybody.
I'm out. I'm just going to unplug myself.
Give their final words. I appreciate your input, Mr. Davis.
I came to shake it up, Valerie. I came to shake it up.
Oh,
I
hear
you. I came to shake it up. And that's
you shook up the
because
world,
they
man.
Don't allow the women perspective on your show. And women have a perspective, and if you don't listen to a woman, then to me, you have female tendencies, and that's not good for a male.
Oh, God, no.
It's not.
The conversation takes an interesting turn.
Right.
I don't think
it always will turn.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't think anyone.
There's no way one person should dominate this conversation like that guy has who started it off. That's why I shook him up.
All of us are not thinking like you.
Hold on. I don't think he necessarily dominated the conversation. She asked him a question and he gave a response. I don't think he necessarily dominated.
I timed him. He was the one that talked the most. And you should allow other people to speak. Otherwise, you might run up on somebody like me that'll shake you up to the core. Simple as that.
So we're down to our last few minutes, and what I'm going to do is we're going to go around and get everybody's final comments. Because, again, the objective today is, like we mentioned in part one, is not to argue or to debate, but to hear each other so that we can come up with some kind of solution. Because, you know, I agree with everybody on the panel. Mr. Davis has his opinion, and he you know, he's forthcoming and he said exactly what he said and what he means. He lives accordingly. He stands by his word. And then everybody else, I agree, you know, with other people. If we don't know each other per se, then it's really hard when we project that energy on someone else if we don't know their background or, you know, we don't have an understanding of what it is that they're doing, what their contributions are in the community. So, you know, I just ask that all of us, at the end of the day, remember what today's goal was, and that was to come up with some kind of solution. I do believe that I understand where Mr. Lambert was coming. Sometimes we do have to make the situation a little uncomfortable for people, because in that way we'll get aggressive and we'll come up with solutions. We just have to, you know, be cognizant of how far we take it sometimes, because sometimes people will withdraw instead of, you know, give more input or step up to the plate.
They should withdraw.
Because we got a lot of people out here who, you know, succumb. Or like you said, Mr. Lambert, you know, there's a lot of cooning and stuff going on, because some people can take the pressure. But, you know, I do want to give everybody an opportunity, because the whole goal of today was to give everybody a voice, so that we hope that the people who are listening, that they would learn something, take something from this conversation. Because, again, the goal was to stimulate thought and to start in our home, maybe not with the leaders, because I don't know anybody that we can necessarily put all that pressure on and depend on them to give us our solution. I think our solution, again, is within. It's with you, what you know is right, who you are. And we shouldn't care about what other people think. We should care about what we want and what we have to do, but we should be, you know, considerate, because we all got to do this together and work in the same little boiling pot together. And so, you know, that's where we are. But I do appreciate everybody on this call. We've only got a time for about three or four more people, so I'm just going to go around the room quickly. I apologize if you want to have a chance to give your final words, but we're just literally out of time. We got 8 minutes. So I'm going to now, again, I'm going to touch bases with Mr. Lambert. If you're finished, you want to give your contact information, and then I'm going to go to Danny, and I'm going to go to Mel and Haru, and then I'm going to wrap up the show. So, Mr. Lambert, do you want to give your contact information before we move forward?
Well, instead of doing that, I won't take but 30 seconds. You know my contact information, and I'm very private with it because I don't align myself with people just because their skin is black. What you did yesterday was wonderful, Valerie. You and another black woman who's well-connected and well-respected out here on the West Coast and her family, that was wonderful what you did. That's the type of networking we have to do. We have to have preconceived notions when we talk to people, not just because they're black. Their skin,
right?
Because there are black people walking around here with Caucasian minds, and I'll end it with that.
Thank you, Mr. Lambert. I appreciate that. And now I want to go around again. We got 7 minutes and a wrap. So yeah, I want to go now to Mel. Do you have anything that you want to say? And also, please give us your contact information. Oh wait, the board's doing something glitchy. So. I'm not doing it. It's just doing something crazy right now. Okay, there we go. It's back. Mel, do you have anything you want to say?
I just want to say everybody has the, you know, right to, you know, everybody has the right to their opinion upon, you know, what they feel as though the world is giving nowadays. You know what I'm saying? So I just, you know, I respect everybody's viewpoint, whether I agree with them or don't agree with them. But, you know, at the end of the day, you know, the world does need to be shooken up, so to speak, in a way, in my opinion. I mean, you know, if the status quo remains the same, then no change. So, you know, I definitely agree with shaking up the world, you know, respectfully, though. You know, that's one thing, you know, men don't do nowadays anymore is respect one another. And I believe that, you know, it has to be a level of that. And otherwise, you know, I appreciate everybody coming on today. I appreciate you having me, you know what I'm saying? Appreciate you allowing me to, you know, be who I am, you know, because I know I'm the man, so, you know.
Right. So tell us, again, real quick, we're down to the last 6 minutes. Tell us what you're working on and how we can contact you, please.
Oh, right. Well, right now I got my single out called Pedigree. It's a brand new single that I just released, so I appreciate everybody for their, you know, their support on that. Otherwise, I'm just working on this. I'm working on my newest tour. Definitely, I'm going overseas to actually tour for the first time, so I'm excited about that. And I'm just looking to do some more. Thank you very much. And I'm just looking to do some more get back into, you know, a little bit more acting, because I kind of steered away from that a little bit, but now I'm looking to get, you know, back into that a little bit more nowadays, because it's an area I really did not pursue per se, all, you know, as much as I would have liked to. So I'm definitely going to do that. Otherwise, you know, you can reach me on, you know, all my social media at Melion Music, MelionMusic, all my social media is there, or contact GT Management, Ms. Gloria Talley, you know, for all booking information. And that's what I'm doing with my life nowadays, and just trying to inspire and be that guy who, you know, who people can look at and be like, you know what, that's who I want to be right there.
Right. And also, Mel, please stay in touch with me, because I would love that person, if he's available and if he wants to talk, for the two of you to come on and let's celebrate him, the guy whose life you changed. And if
yes.
You've got anybody else who's listening, I love celebrating people like that. Like Mr. Lambert said, I love putting people together, because I think that we deserve, you know, this whole thing. We need to create a our own little cyber Black Wall Street, or real life Black Wall Street. We really need to go back to that. We were working with each other for each other, and, you know, it was the FUBU thing, for you, about you, you know. So I totally agree. You know, what Mr. Lambert was saying, it relates to that, working with our people, giving props, big up to our people. So please, if you talk to him, please let him know that I would love for you and him.
You got to give props from props to do. You have to.
Yeah.
There's no other way.
Definitely. So don't forget that. Let's make that a goal. In addition to the show we're going to do together, Haru, can you give us? I want you to go on and promote your book, please, at this time before we wrap.
Okay, thank you so much, Valerie. And also, I wanted to say something personally to Mel.
Hold on, we're getting some feedback. I don't know who that is, but if you could mute your mic, because I don't want to have to mute people. I see some mics have already closed, and I didn't do that. If you could. Okay, now, Haru, I think it's clear.
Thank you so much, Valerie. So I just wanted to say personally to Mel, I will check out your song pedigree. So what we talked about in this conversation, it all boils down to, you know, supporting Black-owned businesses, supporting Black-owned talent, supporting Black people. So I will be supporting you, Mel. I will be looking up pedigree. And shout out to you for definitely.
Play it before we get off.
That's amazing to be able to lead this.
Thank
country
you so much, man. I appreciate
talent.
That.
Yeah,
I really appreciate that, man. Regardless of whether someone likes my music or not, it's just the simple fact of, you know, I have something to present to the world, and I appreciate people for coming to check it out. You know what I mean? I will definitely check it out.
I will say, you know, in my closing, that I'm a person of action. Actions speak louder than words. So I will check your music out. With me, my name is Haru. It's H-E-R-U. I encourage everyone listening to write it down. H-E-R-U. My last name is Asarmo. It's A-S-A-R-A-M-O. And I wrote a book. It's called The Lottery Winner and the Gun with No Bullets. If you just look up my first name, Haru, and then Lottery on Amazon, you'll see my book. I have 5 books out. I put my heart into it. I'm selling my book for $3.57, just like a gun, a .357. So I think about everything when it comes to my book. I put my heart into this. So if we're going to have a conversation about, you know, we should do this and we should do that, then I encourage everyone that was on the call and everyone that was listening, you know, go get it. Be about the action. Encourage, you know, Black-owned businesses. Look up pedigree. Look up Mel and look up his music. Be about what we're talking about, and that's going to be the change. If you want to reach out to me, you can reach out to me on Instagram. It's at I'm First In, Last Out. Again, it's that hard work ethic. I'm first in, last out. You talk about, okay, well, you want someone to be that change. I'm going to be that change. Remember my name. It's Haru Asarmo.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. Haru, do you
appreciate
have a
you,
website?
You really do.
I meant to ask you that. Do you have a website?
I don't have a website, but trust and believe, you know, I definitely will have one at one point. I'm going to make $100 million. I'm starting from the bottom. If you look on Instagram, all of the videos that are on there, I created those videos with no experience, you know, So definitely check out my work. If you're going to do something today, check out my work.
Definitely, definitely. And I definitely encourage you guys to do that. And, Danny, you said earlier you were looking for footing. Did you find your footing today?
Yes, I did. But don't have time to discuss it. Haru, I definitely, after this, if you, Valerie, can give Haru my phone number, I'd love to follow up with that, the initial conversation we had. I want to, again, Valerie, I can't thank you enough. If
awesome.
Anything, this conversation, voices and all, demonstrate what it was I said in the beginning, that, you know, about this country, we have the right to, I say the right to be wrong, no matter, you know, what your view is. And I hate the fact that white America has taken that away from us or said we shouldn't be proud of it.
Mhm. Okay. And then I agree. And then could you please tell us how we can contact you, and also if you could give big ups to your son, because I know he's currently
sure.
promoting his
sure.
music as well.
Easiest way to reach me on Instagram, I am EZD2020. And my son, Krita, I urge you, and Haru, that's why I want to talk to you too. And the gentleman, I'm terrible with names.
Mel.
Yes. I definitely want to hear your music, and I want to put, you know, whatever I can do to help. There are a couple of internet radio stations I work with, blah, 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 blah. So, but Krita, Krita, look him up on YouTube and enjoy.
Right. Thank you so much. And guys, since we've been talking up Pedigree, why don't we go on and play that? You've been listening to the American Disease Project Part 2. We got turned up, and I appreciate the fact that we did it, because maybe that will stir you up. Maybe that is what will cause you to walk outside your door and make change, or be the change, you know, represent change. Do what you do best. I think it should start the solutions within you. And if you do something, maybe someone will mimic your activity, right? Don't assimilate. I agree with, you know, what Mr. Lambert was saying. That's our problem. We're assimilating a little too much. But if you happen to do so, then be the role model. Be what everybody is striving to become, to achieve. Because when you walk outside that door, you represent all of us. So make sure that you always have your A game, you know, on point. Because they're looking at you. Why are they looking at you? Because you're the best. Why are they looking at you? Because they know it started with you and it's going to end with you. Why are they looking at you? Why do they hate you? Because you are the kings and the queens of this world. And because of you, all is well. And we're going to do whatever we can. Everybody who's in this circle, everybody listening, everybody who looks like me, I'm really, really proud of you. I love on you. I don't know how to say that enough. You can be as pretty as Mel. You can be as intelligent. You can be as talented as Haru.
Oh,
so
pretty.
You can be as this wonderful, 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 you know, person, and make all these gifted kids like Danny, and you make, you know, have all this talent and creativity that Mr. Lambert's got. Whatever, guys, just use your gifts, your talent, your beauty, your perspective, whatever, and contribute. You know what I'm saying? They're watching you. They hate you because you're the answer. They know what's in you, and they hate you because of that. Whoever they are, I don't care. Just don't be scared to be you and live out loud. So here we go, guys. I'm Valerie Denise Jones. You've been listening to the American Disease Project. Don't forget to subscribe. Don't forget to join us on our social media platforms, 929-477-1167. I hope you have a great rest of the afternoon. I will call you guys on the other side, because I want to connect you guys. Mel, I will put you in touch with Danny. Haru, I will put you in touch with Mel, and so forth and so on. I'll make sure everybody gets Mr. Lambert's cheesecake. Definitely want to do that, because I totally believe in all of you. Here we go. Mel, why don't you just introduce your song? Why would I be doing it? I'm sorry. Why don't you introduce
I'm sorry.
Your song, and then we're out.
Name of my song is called Pedigree. It's called Name of my song is called Pedigree. I just released it this year. And I appreciate you guys for supporting it. You can also pick it up on all the major downloading platforms, whether it's iTunes, whether it's the CD Baby, whether it's Rhapsody, whether it's Google Play Music, Spotify, iHeartRadio. It is everywhere. It is everywhere. So please, by all means, pick it up.
All right. Here we go, guys. Pedigree. Million Music.
Mama got a fat little girl, with a rack like that, throw it back like that. Somebody better hold on. Oh yeah, she tight with it. Hit the gym every night with it. The way she's thrusting and busting it, I can't keep from touching it.
Let me bid you good night.